Happy 4th of July weekend from WSIU Radio. And if your plans include getting out and enjoying nature, well, one place which I visited last year with Illinois naturalist Chris Benda is Dixon Springs State Park. And here's Chris getting the group of hikers ready to explore. And he begins by giving us a fascinating talk about how ancient geological events shaped this land that we call Southern Illinois.
So if you would just sign your name and the town you're traveling from, and I made this map and picked out these colors to really show the contrast of all these different natural divisions that we have in Southern Illinois. And mainly the beige area is where the southern extent of the glaciers, and so not the glaciers 14,000 years ago, but previous glaciation periods had leveled Illinois. But they stopped at, you know, about Carbondale or Crab Orchard area. And so south of there is unglaciated. And that leads to a lot of the topography and the canyons and the formations that we have. And then the dark green here, which is where we are in, dark green, we are about over here, close to the Pope Johnson County line. And that is the greater Shawnee Hills, which is the sandstone exposed. So all the rock that we are seeing around, or we'll see, is sandstone. If you get further south into the light green, that's the lesser Shawnee Hills, which is predominantly limestone exposure. So you have, instead of having sort of these cliffs and these canyons, you get more of hills and steep hills and limestone glades. And then down into the blue is the coastal plain. So all of a sudden it's flat again once you get out of the Shawnee Hills and back down south, and that's because that was ancient ocean. So underwater, it was basically, it's the northern extent of the southern cypress swamp. So we get cypress and Tupelo down there and Heron Pond, of course, and the Cache River and all that. And then in the red here is the Illinois Ozarks. So most of the Ozarks are in Missouri and a little in Arkansas and Oklahoma. We have a little piece here in Illinois. It's actually kind of interesting. You think about the Mississippi River coming through, and instead of going around all the mountains, it carved through just a little piece on the edge. And if you've been over to Fountain Bluff, that's a good example of, you know, it's the floodplain, and all of a sudden there's this huge hill that the river carved around. So the Ozark Mountains are much older than the rest of the area, and they have this rock component called chert. And the chert brings some, it makes it acidic, whereas usually the soil is basic or alkaline. And so you have these combinations in the soil, and that leads to the tremendous diversity. And one example of that is at LaRue Pine Hills. They have a species list of about 1,400 species, and it's somewhere around 3,000 acres. So that's an incredible number of species for that small of a size. So basically, the take-home message from this chart here is that this is where north and south come together. We have the southern extent of our northern adapted plants, and we have the northern extent of our southern adapted plants, and even to a lesser degree some east and west influence here as well. We have shortleaf pine that comes from Missouri. Your side oats gramma grass is a prairie thing that we have in this area, and then even from the Smoky Mountains we have wild azalea and cucumber magnolia. So we have all these influences in here, and it's not really that surprising when you think about where Illinois is situated in the United States. I mean, we're pretty much right in the middle, and we have the Mississippi going down one side, and the Mississippi, you know, is a huge corridor for plants and animals, and so that brings in all this diversity to this area. We're outside, so what would we rather be doing than breathing the fresh air?
And if you're not an expert at identifying the many plants that live in Southern Illinois, Chris says not to worry, it can be confusing. And ironically now, as the hike begins, the first plants that we come across, well, they're not native to this area, which can be a bad thing.
At a certain point, when you start looking at plants, everything just kind of looks green and you can maybe even say, this is a grass, you know, I'm doing good. But as you look at things more and more, they become distinct, and you begin to recognize them. And this is a very distinct looking grass. And it flowers in the fall, so it hasn't flowered yet. But interesting thing about Microstegium is that it was actually described in Tennessee well, it was first described in North America, Tennessee, in the early 1900s. And it hasn't become a bad plant and really until the last 10, 15 years. And there's a lag time often with these invasive species that they can, these non-natives, they can hang out and not be a problem for a long time. And then they take a while to sort of get established and take hold, and then they can just explode. But in that same sense, sometimes plants have that explosion and then they die back later. I mean, I've heard people suggest that with honeysuckle, even places that it used to be a lot worse than it is, and it's not better just because of eradication measures, but also just with the way the plant is living out its life cycle. It's becoming less dominant.
So, the name of it again?
This is Japanese stilt grass, Microstegium viminium. It was used as packing material, so it's also called Japanese packing grass, and that's how it got here. It came over in crates. So, and you can find it just about anywhere. The seeds seem to particularly like to transport on water, and so waterways can often become choked with the Microstegium. All right, what else?
You're taking a wildflower hike on WSIU. Our guide is botanist Chris Benda. Chris is the president of the Illinois Native Plant Society, and right now we're exploring Dixon Springs State Park, an 800-acre park about 10 miles west of Golconda, located in beautiful Pope County.
Yeah, that is Euonymus fortunii, winter creeper, and it will just cover densely things, and it's another sort of bad invasive, and you can pull it, but it doesn't get rid of it. So obviously a lot of these parks are used for different uses. I mean, I was saying how some of them were underloved. Well, the pool seems to be getting going. You got people fishing here, and those are all important things too. But also important is to actually be looking at the nature rather than just, you know, being in it and in the lawn, so that we're appreciating the plants and animals that are here.
Is this the Bibis vivarium?
I'm thinking it looks like a wild cucumber or burr cucumber. There's a gourd family that has some vines like that. Or it could also be one of the, like, a related to moon seed.
Right.
That we talked
That's
about.
That's what I was, yeah. I thought it resembled
like
moon
a
seed. But it was...
Yeah, there's Cocculus caroliniana that I haven't seen all that often. It could be, but there's not any fruits or flowers to work with. We'd need further investigation, but...
The fun of discovery in the great outdoors. That was Illinois botanist Chris Benda. Chris is also the president of the Illinois Native Plant Society, and you heard a field trip that he led last year. He was leading a group on a wildflower hike at Dixon Springs State Park in Pope County. Just one of the many beautiful natural places to explore in southern Illinois. And Chris has just announced the list of a series of 5 more wildflower walks in the Shawnee National Forest this year that he is leading. July 12th at 1 o'clock p.m. he'll be at Rim Rock in Carbers Ridge, Illinois. Then on July the 26th he'll be hiking Cave Hill. That's near Harrisburg. August 8th they'll be at Bell Smith Springs in Ozark, Illinois. And into October, Chris Benda will lead a hike at Atwood Ridge in Jonesboro, Illinois on October 24th. And October 25th, he'll be at Lusk Creek Canyon Wilderness in Eddyville, Illinois. And again, all of these wildflower hikes are free. And it would be a good idea, though, to call Chris or email him and sign up. Contact him at botanizer@gmail.com. And again, Chris has been very gracious with his time letting me tag along, and I hope that you enjoyed hearing about these wildflower hikes. For WSIU Radio, I'm Kevin Boucher.